Okay, as you know, well, first of all, I'll just explain. Dave Critter was meant to be speaking today, but he asked if he could swap dates with me because he had another engagement that he would have honoured this first, but that he actually wanted to take for a special reason. And so that's why we've swapped. So he'll be doing the 11th. So you're not going to miss out. He is going to be speaking at another time. But as you know, we're still in this period. This is the last bit of us just choosing our own subject. Which actually is sometimes a lot trickier than when you're given a subject. But I just felt this on my heart. And so I'm going to be speaking about, I've just called it On Being a Sheep. Okay? Because you are a sheep. Now, I'm not being offensive. I'm a sheep too. Okay? You are a sheep. And I am a sheep. And this first reading, The Lost Sheep, Luke 15, 1 to 7, this is you. This is not, we always read this when we're Christians and think of everybody else who needs to be found. But at some point, if you're a Christian in your life, at some point, this was you. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. Now, this is you. This is me. We are sheep. This is who we are. We were lost, but he's found us. He's our shepherd. And yes, he is our shepherd. Look at the next reading, John 10, 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." He died for you. He found you and he died for you. This is on his heart. You're on his heart. You're the lost sheep he went to great extent to find. And he wants to continue to care for you. Look at Isaiah 40 and verse 11. "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." You know, he found us and he wants to carry on. Carry on looking after us. He wants to carry on. That's his heart. He is the shepherd. We are the sheep. And again, just looking at this longer reading, the good shepherd and his sheep, he can be completely trusted. This is who he is. "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. "Therefore," Jesus said again, "very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flocks and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I laid down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. So he can be completely trusted. Completely trusted. This is him. We are sheep. That's us. He is the shepherd. That's him. So it's all good news. It's good to be a sheep. But there's a problem sometimes with being a sheep, as this video will show you. And if you wanted, if you're listening to this, you just need to go to YouTube. Sheep truly are dumb, directionless and defenseless.
Is it still all stuck?
No, it's going. It's all
See, that's the problem with sheep. And that's the problem with us as sheep. You know, we want to go our own way. We want to butt through a fence. And then we'll try it again and again. And we'll keep butting to try and get our way through. We then get completely lost and off track. And we get our own way. But we find out that it's not all that, after all, getting our own way, because we end up in a place that really doesn't make sense anymore. And we know that butting our way through was not the thing to do. A shepherd wants to lead for one of two reasons. He either leads because he knows there's somewhere that the sheep need to go, or he leads because the sheep need to stay put. And that's the same with our shepherd. He leads because we have somewhere to go, or he leads in a different kind of way because there's danger or another really good reason to stay still. But he's still leading. When he's staying there in one place, he's still leading. Because he's not walking somewhere and we're not moving somewhere, he's still leading. So whether moving or staying, a shepherd always needs to lead, because we can be dumb, directionless and defenseless. And that is our problem. So really, I just want us now to meditate a little bit on Psalm 23, which is on your sheet. You see, our only safe place is with the shepherd. That's the only safe place. And after we've looked at this psalm and looked at some of the verses, and we will be listening to and watching a meditation on this particular psalm, that will be it. It's not going to be a long, long talk, this. Because it's very simple. It's simple to understand, but it's not so simple to do. And so there'll be a time when we can just reflect personally about what we're looking at now. This is such a well-known psalm, we can actually miss out on some of the stuff in it. So I'll read it through in its entirety, and then we'll look at each of the verses. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I lack nothing when I let him be my shepherd. Okay? I lack nothing when I'm letting him be my shepherd. So don't run off. Don't run off. Verses 2 and 3. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And just the first bit of verse 3. He refreshes my soul. He wants us to rest. But we resist, don't we? We fill our lives with noise. We refuse to be refreshed by making wrong choices. He wants us to have space in our lives. He wants us to have peace in our lives. But we fill it up all the time. We won't let him have that space with us. And the second bit of verse 3, he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Yeah, he will guide, but we have to choose to follow. It doesn't matter, does it? You know, it doesn't matter how much he's leading. If we're not choosing to follow, we won't get anywhere. And, you know, sheep, they don't need to know where the streams are. They don't need to know where the fresh pastures are. They just need to know where the shepherd is. Stop thinking ahead of him. For his name's sake, you know, you think, well, what does that mean? He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. You know, it's because, well, I think it's because he will show the right paths that reflect who he is, not who you are. It's for his name's sake, for his glory and for your benefit. It's not, you know, it's not for us. It is going to be ultimately for us, but he knows the best path. And so he will show us the right paths that reflect who he is and not who we are. And they are always much better paths than the ones we would choose. Always. They are better paths. Verse 4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Quit the panic. Quit the panic. In dark places, it's easier to see the light, actually. You've had that experience, I'm sure, the same as me, where sometimes in a really dire situation, you've seen God in a much bigger way because light shows up much better in dark places. No, you may not be equipped to carry on in the hard place you're in, but he is. He's equipped. You may be thinking, I can't hack any more of this. And you can't, but he can, and he can give you the strength. Because you're not alone. And he's got a rod. He's got a rod to fight off your enemies. and a staff to pull you back onto the right path. It's brilliant, isn't it? I think some, from what I was reading, you know, some shepherds would have a rod separate to the staff, and some they would have just one, and on one end there would be the little hook, and on the other end sometimes there was metal on it, you know, to make it hardened, and so they could beat off anything dangerous, any dangerous enemies to the sheep with that end. And then he could hook them back when they were going the wrong way with the other end. And that is, you know, God has got all that we need to keep us safe and keep us to the safest paths. And then verse 5, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. This isn't about you being removed from the difficult situation, is it? This is about you being in the difficult situation. This isn't about magic wands and happy endings, you know, as soon as things get tough. It's about being in the presence of your enemies and what happens when Jesus is your shepherd in those places. It's amazing. It's right in the middle of danger or discomfort, you can thrive because he will tend to you. You might not be removed from your dark place, but you will be intimately ministered to. Don't be busy. This is really important. Don't be so busy looking for escape, butting an impenetrable fence, that you don't notice the safety of stillness. Don't be so busy looking for escape, butting an impenetrable fence, that you don't notice the safety of stillness. And it gets even more amazing in this verse. You anoint my head with oil. Now, in the Middle East, this was the way a host would show respect to their visitor, their guest. So what we've got in this verse, in those words, is God showing you respect. It almost sounds blasphemous, God showing you respect. It almost sounds blasphemous if you don't factor in that God's love is unconditional. So in the middle of your enemies, God shows you respect. And carries on with you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Again, in Middle Eastern custom, and actually probably in many countries in Britain, you know, when you're tired and you've entertained for a long time, you're not going to keep filling up the cups, are you? If you want people to know that actually it's been a really great evening, but I want to go to bed now. And in Middle Eastern custom, it was the thing, you know, you just kept filling up their cup to say, you're welcome. Oh, stay a bit longer. I'm really enjoying your company. So in this verse, we have this concept that God doesn't want you to go. He's enjoying your company. Isn't that amazing? And it's not just that he's filling up the cup, it's overflowing. It's amazing. He wants you to stay. And then verse 6. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You have a fleece around you, you're a sheep. But your fleece isn't made of wool. Your fleece is made of goodness and love. And that's around you. His goodness and love. And on top of that, your final destiny is assured. So really, before we look at this this meditation on the psalm, it's just a few questions, really. Are you being a bit of a foolish sheep right now? Are you wandering when the shepherd has stopped? Or are you stubbornly staying put instead of watching and moving on with the shepherd? You know, we're sheep, and it's good because we have a good shepherd who will be leading us into the right ways. So I want us just to be still now. And after this, it's just a few minutes, you know, that's it. And so Josh can continue. And if people do want to, you know, just talk to someone, pray about something afterwards, then let's do that. You know, we're family together. And maybe there is something that you know, is really difficult for you at the moment, and you really need someone to pray alongside you about it. But let's just be still and concentrate on this meditation. You will hear in it that Jesus is the caregiver, that he brings life to your core, that he can dismantle evil, that the flavour of your life is favour. This is our safest place. There is no greener grass to try to butt through to. This is the safest place with the shepherd. So can we just watch this?
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He is the caregiver, life bringer. I'm not bound down. Greener grass simply cannot be found. In all of creation's foundation, I find my salvation in the palm of his hands. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He finds joy in sustaining my heart rate, so that I might stride in step to his cadence. My cup overflows. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There is nothing lurking behind any corner that my shepherd cannot dismantle. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Waves of hate on my left, ocean of foes on my right, the sea of deceiving voices that prowl at the gates of my mind. And yet in the presence of all of this, you anoint my head with oil. You set me apart and I rise to the top, bubbling up until life cascades and displays the abundance of ways that you have brought life to my core. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, stirring up the aroma of heaven with every single step that I take. The flavor of my life is favor, and my cup overflows. And as if all of this was not enough, I, a broken man with guilty hands, I, the prodigal son, the forgiven one, I, the redeemed, yes, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My cup overflows.
Just to illustrate, really, three of those, or a couple of illustrations from practical life on some of the verses we've read about. As we know, Jesus spoke in parables about things that people were familiar with. And as a shepherd, those verses actually come alive to me because I've seen them in real life. First time was at Banbury Stock Market, where two pens of sheep got mixed up. And it was a case of, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. And the shepherd just, of one of the pens, just said to the saleman or whatever it was, the person that worked at the market, he just said, watch this. And he whistled a command as if to his sheepdog, and all his sheep looked up, their ears pricked, and the others just carried on doing what they were doing. And he said, they're mine. They know me. I know them. I demonstrated this with students when I worked at the college. I'd stand at the gate and say to the students, just call them. They'll come. And they'd call and call, and nothing happened. And I'd just shout, come on. And they'd come running. And it was a case of, I'm not a good shepherd. I wasn't the, you know, I'm certainly not the good shepherd, but I was a shepherd and I knew my sheep and they knew me. And also as a stockman, the Bible says that the hired hand will run away from danger. And I was just a hired hand. But there was one occasion when I was driving past a field of sheep that were in my care. And there was a Doberman, an Alsatian and a terrier just tearing into these sheep. And I just jumped out the tractor, grabbed a stick over the fence and chased the dogs off. Didn't even think about the fact that a Doberman is a trained killer. You know, it was just a case of anger took over and the rage just stepped in. So, yeah, these verses just seem to come alive to me. And it's now, it's happening now. And, you know, that's just, yeah. That's all I wanted to say, really.
I think you're a pretty good shepherd, Ron.